I am actually going to take this chocolate edible. And here we go. We'll see how it goes.
Nice.
You know, preparation, I don't feel like it's that important.
No, because they don't go that hand in hand.
No, and I think we all know.
Yeah.
Generally, the story of Willy Wonka.
Yes, considering you guys did it on the show, pre me.
That's true. Willy Wonka was the first episode of Retro Rush Agreement.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow! Look at that.
Yep, we did. We did Willy Wonka controlling the chocolate factory.
Ah.
And you know, the idea being like the concept of they keep remaking movies. Well, they did it again. We can talk about
Although they didn't, it's not necessarily a remake.
Yeah,
this
is interesting because it's not.
It's a retelling of how Wonka got his start.
Totally. Let me grab a drinksy and then we'll talk all about it.
I'm a Dickensian hag.
I'm a Dickensian hag. Hey there. Running a scam there, Wonka.
Oh, Willie, you got such good chocolates, do ya?
Good. Chocolate.
And I'm gonna be doing this for like 2 weeks. This voice.
It's
Willy Wonka with your Oompa Loompas running around.
It's not your fault, Daniel. I'm okay. Willy Wonka, you shall not sell chocolate.
You shall not sell chocolate here.
Welcome to Retroverse
Remake. This is, I guess that's what we do.
Yes, that's what we do. I was going to start this podcast in just pure imagination, but there's no need.
I'll start this with a breakdown. A famous, world famous chocolatier sometimes, or actually,
a chocolatier.
A chocolatier destined for fame and fortune. Encounters children that have dreams of a better world, and in this world of pure imagination, this chocolatier is able to make those dreams manifest. There's also a dark underbelly to that, and we learn that throughout all of the Wonka's, Charlie's and the Chocolate Factories, anything Roald Dahl did in relation to this particular chocolatier is on display in this episode of Retro versus Remake.
Retro versus Remake! I'm Dan Farley. You can find us at Retroverse Remake on Instagram, at Retroverse Remake on YouTube. Write, subscribe, like, whatever. That'll help us out. You can find me at DanFarley18 on Instagram, and then JerseyDan18 on X, and RP Comedy at both.
Yeah, that's
Retro.
Right. RP Comedy on Instagram.
Yeah. I got a question. Why are we keep coming back to this well of chocolate? Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? Okay, I liked the movie too. It was on fucking Channel 11 when I was 7, when the Mets were ringed out. Great. I watched it a bunch of times. I loved it. It was fun. It was great. I don't... Why are we doing this? Why do we keep... Who?
So, I think that... all starts in 1971, right? Like that.
Yes.
That's where all this started. In 1971,
Children was vogue.
Mel Stewart, the director, had taken a popular Roald Dahl children's book.
What the hell was he doing? Oh man,
all kinds of craziness. So I mean, this joint, James and Giant Peach, the witches.
Yeah.
He just goes
one after another. The Schnozberries, the Jabberwocky. What? It's just ugh.
Yeah, that guy had
pure demons.
Demons that will call imagination. yes, the writer Roald Dahl and David Seltzer, I guess, did the adaptation of the film in 1971. That film starring some fucking heavy hitters: Gene Wilder, Jack Albertson, who's great in that.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Ostrom, Roy Kinnear, Julie Dawn Cole. let's see, Leonard Stone, and then, yeah, that's enough.
You know, oh, the fat kids. Kid.
The, yeah, the kid.
The fat kid, the asshole, the TV guy. No.
TV man. Yeah, that was a good one. You know, they did it again, yes. Obviously, in 2005 with Charlie.
Charlie in the Chocolate Factory.
That's right.
Which is Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, directed by Tim Burton, with the writing by John August. Again, that was Johnny Depp. Freddie Highmore played Charlie in that one. David Kelly, Helena Bonham Carter, because of course. Oh yeah, Mr. Taylor. Noah Taylor's Mr. Bucket was pretty fun. Yeah, that's it. You know, we're not. Yeah. We'll talk about that briefly, but the star of the show today is a 2023 Wonka. Not a remake.
Not really. No, not really.
Kind of
a retelling of the
prequel.
Maybe? A prequel, yes. Maybe. A prequel.
That synopsis is a little bit different. With dreams of opening a shop in the city renowned for its chocolate, a young and poor Willy Wonka discovers that the industry is run by a cartel of greedy chocolatiers. This film was directed by Paul King. Of course, Roald Dahl still gets a writing credit because of the adaptation. With Paul King and others as writers, if they're calling them others, I'm not getting into them.
Others. The amount of indentured servitude in this movie, there should not be called fucking others.
This should be called Willy Wonka Escape from Slave Island. Yeah, that's what this movie should be called.
And somehow you feel more sympathy for him than the black child.
I know. Starring the ever handsome Timothy Chalamet. Murray. Well, no.
Ever handsome? I don't. Okay. Yeah,
people like him.
I get. They love him. Like him. My chick loves him. I don't get it.
Ah, man, hold up. I'm doing
he
this.
He looks like he's 10. I don't know. I don't get it.
I'm doing this a different way because they did all these people out of sequence. They're like, in order of appearance. I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Starring Timothy Chalamet, Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. They roped. This is the worst thing that ever happened to Hugh Grant.
I don't know. It looked like he was drinking. Those were real cocktails. I think that's how they got him.
No, I'm kidding. The worst thing is obviously that blowjob he got from that booker.
Oh, well, yeah. Everybody was paid in chocolate. Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean himself, Olivia Colman, Kayla Lane, who is Noodle, Keegan-Michael Key, Tom Davis, and you know, Patterson Joseph, for playing Slugworth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can't do, like, the regular synopsis. I think we have to... We'll start with the synopsis of this film.
Okay.
And then work into the Wonka that we know.
Yeah.
Right?
So, basically, Willy Wonka mm-hmm. is introducing drugs into the community.
Yes, yes.
Into what time? What country? I don't know. Could be 1910. Could be 1985. It doesn't matter, really. You have no idea what country it is because everyone is either from New York or London. Or they're like barons for like some German whatever.
Yeah, Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's odd, right? Like, you have this setting that, like, obviously, purposefully, it's kind of vague, right? Like, where they are, like you said, it feels like London-esque is the closest thing.
But it could be Gotham City in Tim Burton's Batman. I don't know. Like, it could be either one. It's just brighter.
This might have been Gangs of New York.
It could have been Gangs of New York.
It's very possible.
And we said that this was a prequel. I think this is a prequel to The Wire. Like, personally, this movie.
Yeah, if all the weight Willy Wonka
All the... He's pushing weight. There ain't just chocolate in there.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
No.
It's Omar's coming.
Omar's coming. It's interesting, because you have this Wonka who gets off a ship from somewhere, right? He's got his iconic clothing and 12 sovereigns, you know, because it's also connected to Les Mis.
Yes.
So... You know, all the connections here. This actually feels closer to Les Mis.
Yes,
than
But it's Wonka definitely, film. Like, I mean, we could talk about it further, and we'll get into the film, but the movie just feels like an allegory for the drug wars. Like, you have money, you have the United States government, I'm talking about specifically the United States, filtering in drugs.
That Michael Key, New York accent.
Yes, of course. Filtering drugs, the cartels, filtering drugs into the poorer communities, which are, you know, the common Londoners or whatever the hell this town is. Then here comes this upstart trying to make something out of himself, and he doesn't have a great jump shot, but damn, he's slinging that rock.
He's really slinging.
And then he brings up, he has five people that he's working in this indentured servitude with, that he can't get out of. It's impossible for him to rise above his station in life without selling this chocolate.
Yeah, it's a tale as old as time. You got these people who are...
You have the orphan, so he's corrupting the youth.
Yep, yep.
You have the accountant, so he's cooking the books, make sure that he's been watching Ozark. He's right. Making sure that everything's going right. Then he's got the telecommunications chick. He's got the plumber to flush everything down the streets, make sure everything's cool on the streets. And then he's got the comedian, which, let's be honest, is the lawyer.
Right. Like, this Wonka is dealing with, I guess he's, as they said in the film, temporarily embarrassed. This is not the stacking Wonka with the factory and the money. Like,
he's broke as shit.
Nobody knows who he is. He's just a little upstart. A couple dollars in his pocket that he spends immediately. Within the first day of landing in wherever the hell they are, he's out of money. He takes up lodging with some
unsavory.
Yeah. Scrubbits? The Scrubbit?
One woman's Scrubbit, and then the other guy's whatever his name is.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he signs a contract because this Willy Wonka can't read, by the way.
Yes, he's illiterate. This is, like, if you put up the story of American Gangster, who, by the way, I don't care what they make the movie out to be, the real guy couldn't read. Frank Lucas could not read. He was illiterate. Right. He knew that, like, $100,000 worth of money was, or like $1 million weighed like 500 pounds or something like that. So that's how he measured money.
Well, it's similar in that way, right? Because Walker's like, I didn't have time to read. I dedicated my life to this chocolate.
American Gangster, Willy Wonka. It's the same. We could have redone that movie.
Apparently we could have.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we learn the story of, which we'll talk about more as we go along, but Willy Wonka's humble beginnings, how he shook up the world.
Humble.
He shook up the world. Yeah.
He's somehow master of the ship.
He
shows up on this ship to the shores of town.
I'm telling you, it was like David Copperfield S. It was just insane. Like how he comes up, like I said, doing magic tricks and stuff like that, immediately becomes a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately is like, nah, I don't think so. Comes up with an elaborate scheme. It works.
Yeah. Immediately.
His rivals try to take him down, and he says, I got something for you. And he becomes the Wonka that we all know.
Yeah.
I guess somehow.
Or imagination. I will give it to that. Like which we is, said, that which, shall make it sing.
He can sing.
He can sing.
Which, honestly, as annoying, like, I found, and I think we talked about this before, I found that, like, the Gene Wilder Wonka, like, I knew everything I needed to know about the guy.
Yeah, you don't need to know anything else. Less is more.
It's a whimsical, like, mystery thing. And I feel like...
Is he a villain? Is he not? I don't know. And at the end, you kind of still don't know?
Exactly. Well, this Wonka, prequel Wonka, is in the camp of a good guy.
Absolutely.
You know? Now, maybe he's more jaded and fucked up over the years. It was kind of where you get to the Wilder part of it.
Yeah.
You also have the Charlie in the Chocolate Factory from 2005. Was it Charlie in the Chocolate Factory? Was that Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory?
Charlie.
Confusing.
Willy Wonka was the original.
That's right. Yeah, you got Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which I think, you know, the Tim Burton take on it, and again, it's not really a prequel.
It's a remake. But they show in all the other stuff with his father being a dentist.
Exactly. So, like, they build this backstory, and you're kind of seeing a this almost, like, fractured psyche of the Johnny Depp Willy Wonka and how, like, I don't know, like, he has all these idiosyncrasies because of his upbringing and his unresolved stuff with his father, which is all ultimately kind of uninteresting because, like, at the end of the day, you just really care about the chocolate guy and not really how he became the chocolate guy.
The chocolate wizard. Let's talk about him.
He's literally the Wizard of Oz of chocolate.
Yeah, you know? I don't need to know what his life is. Like, I don't... It's like, what do you really want to know what the... I don't know. Fucking the Emperor in Star Wars is? Like, you know. You might actually be like, oh, I agree with this guy. Like, no. You just want to see him be the Emperor.
Totally.
He's
totally.
Like, oh, no, he's evil.
I'm gonna move this a little bit. I want you to frame a little bit more. What? Nope. That's the opposite. Cool. Yeah, like, you don't want to know who the Emperor is.
Yeah, you don't want to... Less is more. Like, it's like the Joker.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of don't want to... Like, the idea is that he could be anything.
You know what else is, like, funny enough, like, in context now, the chocolate competition, does sort of make a lot more sense now. Because, like, if this is the place where he got his start, you can't trust anybody.
No.
You can't trust anybody's town. There's corrupt police. There's cartels. He's like, all right, who can I trust to, since he didn't have children? Because he learned that lesson. If I have a kid, somebody fucking take him out.
Yeah.
So they take the factory. You learn that from Noodle, I guess. It actually, like, makes sense that the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka would be like, I'm going to do a competition to find a pure-hearted person who's not, like, corrupted to pass on my legacy.
Yeah.
Like,
it does make sense.
Weirdly enough, this movie somehow makes that make sense. But, I'm actually giving it way more credit.
Yeah, than it deserves. I will say this, like, as much as I'm screaming a bit whatever about this, I wish I weren't as cynical as I was, because it is kind of whimsical. Yeah. The only thing is, I don't know who this movie's for.
That's the real question.
Like, who? Like, I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm too old to enjoy it.
Right.
And, like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, that's lovely.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy. And then, that's who knows Willy Wonka, or people my age. Like, kids don't know that. Kids don't give a shit.
This feels kind of like that Grinch remake that you didn't really watch. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
But like,
I loved it. I watched it since. I loved it.
It is for people our age that have had children who are now dragging their kids to watch, like,
so they can enjoy it.
Right.
But they don't feel guilty about doing
it. Correct, because, like, the kid's there, so, like... And then Timothée Chalamet, I mean, of all the people in Hollywood now, I guess he sort of makes the most sense to do this.
Sure.
Especially considering, which is what we definitely have to talk about, is there music in the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Sure.
Yeah. Is it a musical?
No.
No. This is a musical.
There's only one other person that should have been Willy Wonka, and I think we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Busey. let's give it to Gary Busey. Just.
I was going with James Woods.
But okay, James Woods. We can do James Woods. I'll take... If Busey passes.
Okay, yeah.
That's
fair.
Motherfucker!
We're kind of jumping right into it. Like, in 71, you've got Gene Wilder.
Who is phenomenal.
He's the definitive.
That's...
Willy Wonka, right? That's...
How did you like the Chocolate Factory, Charlie?
I know!
That's the problem in keeping making these movies.
Yeah, it's like, why? You're not going to get better than that.
We nailed it.
Yeah, it's like, he nailed it.
Even, like you were saying before, that, the mystery of Gene Wilder's character, like, is he a good guy, is he a bad guy? What you get with, like, you know, I was kind of alluding to it before, but, like, the little cane walkout scene. And he
insisted on that being in the movie.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah, because then you're not going to know whether you could trust this guy or not for the rest of the movie.
And you don't trust him. Even, like you said, even when he flips, you won, Charlie, you've done it. Like, it's like, all right, like, we're all...
What's waiting here?
Right. And part of that is because this man is willing to let children... Oh, no, please.
Yeah,
don't
please.
Die.
Oh, exactly. He doesn't care.
Right.
Like, if they die, they die. He's giving them the Ivan Drago.
But again, you know, in the context of the Chalamet Wonka, Timothée Chalamet plays Wonka in 2023.
Ladies and gentlemen, greetings to you all. My name is Willy Wonka.
We didn't establish that.
You know, just so you know. Who, again, is... You know, because it serves as a bit of a prequel, is very optimistic. He's got a dream. We're not as focused on the father, like in the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie. We're focused on his mother, who is...
Some Irish misfit.
Yeah.
Who there, Charlie?
Hey, the potato famine.
The potato famine killed us all. I had to resort to prostitution. Would you like a chocolate? No, not that chocolate.
They lived on, like,
a boat?
Some sort of, like, river boat? I don't know.
And it was, like, an open boat, so that means it was warm climate, so I would assume, like, South chocolate. America?
Bad for chocolate.
Yeah.
Although, the beans, you need the cocoa beans.
Yeah.
So.
South
America. Good for chocolate?
Africa? I don't know.
Who knows? You're not supposed to know where anything is, or who anybody is, what their origin are. Like,
yes. And the Oompa Loompas just keep getting smaller.
They get smaller and smaller. Yeah.
Just depriving people of solid little people actors of good roles that they could have possibly used. And here comes Hugh Grant with CGI.
Hugh Grant, Oompa Loompa. I was, it was just like, okay. Like, it didn't make sense. It did not make sense. It was just like, okay.
I don't understand the ending. I don't understand the ending to it. Why would they join a partnership?
Yeah, so in this scenario, right, like kind of...
He paid him back. It's done.
Right.
He gets to go back to his home. Instead, he becomes an indentured servant to with his friends to Willy Wonka.
Right. So...
Does he need a head taster?
To kind of like come back. Because like, again...
Because, sorry, we're jumping all over here, guys.
No, it's fine. I think I've got the through line. Because it is confusing. Like, which, again, is part of the reason we argue you don't need Willy Wonka's background.
Absolutely.
Because it's irrelevant. Now, what's interesting is 2023 is a movie all about Willy Wonka's background.
Yes.
There is no factory, which...
But it's like a fever dream background.
It is a fever dream. It's this, like... Is careless the right word? Like, just this guy who's willing to throw caution to the wind and do anything at a whim. Like,
yeah.
And you learn that in the first song. Like, again, we didn't do enough research to tell you the name of the songs. But, he's got 12 sovereigns.
We can't afford the rights.
Yeah, we really can't. YouTube, it won't happen. he has 12 sovereigns in his pocket, so he's got, like, 12 coins that are basically his life's fortune at this point, which is nothing. He goes around town, and within one day, he spent all of his money. But he's so optimistic, he's like, that's okay, because I'm going to make my fortune tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, he's so confident in the chocolate, and it turns out he should be this confident.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm going to be rich.
Yeah, because he's slinging that crack rock.
Yeah.
He knows what he's got.
And when that happens, when he spends his last sovereign on a mother and...
A poor baby.
And a poor baby in the street, who's probably just another scammer. It might be part of the chocolate
cartel. Yeah, they should really.
You know? He gets involved with who's the actress? It was
Olivia
Colman.
Olivia Colman, yeah.
Yeah, Olivia Colman's Mrs. Scrubbit, who has a entrepreneurial contract because he doesn't have money to stay somewhere. So she's like, "You could stay at my place of lodging for one sovereign, not that much money, and just sign this contract with a bunch of terms and conditions that he definitely doesn't read
because he can't read."
He can't read, which is what we learn about this Wonka.
Yes. And she pulls an you know it's coming, is like the innkeeper from Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
That you know it's going to be like, ooh, well, you're going to get charged something. Charge it for the lice, extra for the mice.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess this is an interesting place to introduce these two characters. In 1971, right, like the precocious kid that we follow, you know, the Charlie Bucket of this film is Peter Ostrom plays Charlie Bucket in the original movie.
I'd like a bar of chocolate, please.
And, you know, like, we'll obviously talk about him, but, like, yeah, he's a kid. He's like a typical kid who has faith in this Wonka figure and it becomes disillusioned.
Quite disillusioned.
Because of Wonka. Versus in 2023, you've got Kayla Lane, who plays Noodle.
The best chocolate in the world.
An orphan black girl that is enslaved by Mrs. Scrubbit.
That's right.
And forced to stay in a chicken coop from time to time as a form of punishment.
Yes.
She's trying to warn Timothy Chalamet's Wonka not to sign the entrepreneur contract.
Yes.
He can't read, so he signs the contract, and now he's a slave.
Yes. Yes, and then to when they're... their servitude, they have to work in the laundry.
Mm-hmm. Scrub, scrub, scrub.
Scrub, scrub, scrub,
scrub, scrub. It's a song about scrubbing.
Yes. Everything, it's like, you remember that Simpsons episode where they go to New York and they have the Broadway musical about the Betty Ford Clinic? That's what this, it's like just so forced.
Yeah.
That's what this, it all feels like a forced Broadway play. Like, it's like scrub, 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 scrub.
Yeah, no, this actually, you know, without really rating the movie right now, this would have served better as, like, some kind of Broadway.
Absolutely, it would have been.
I don't know if, as a movie, this makes
it doesn't.
A lot of sense.
But also, I don't, like, they do all these moves and these dances and stuff, like, Gene Kelly would be like, this is disgusting.
Yeah, well, you know...
I actually did mine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you knew you were in for it, because, like, that musical shit started happening. Like, someone's hitting the typewriter, next thing you know, that's the backbeat of the song. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, you start scrubbing something. Scrub, scrub, scrub. And they do, like, every musical trope you could think of
yes.
happens here. Speaking of Gene Kelly, I mean, when they're dancing on the table. Like,
yeah.
The, Stealing his moves.
Stealing his moves. Or he's
stealing Wonka's moves.
He swings down on the... I saw it, like, in the first scene, he swings down around the streetlight.
Oh, the streetlight thing? Yeah.
Yeah, and he's, like, swinging around, but he's clearly, like, you know, it's CGI.
There's a lot of CGI in this
movie. Yeah, I'm like, yo, Gene Kelly just actually did that.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah. There's a lot of CGI.
A lot. Like the giraffe.
The giraffe, the dog.
The dog.
Pretty much any chocolate. Like, the chocolate is, like, all so whimsical.
Yeah.
Even more, like, in a lot of ways, even more so than in the Gene Wilder movie.
Yeah.
Like, fizzy lifting drink or whatever, yeah, you lift. But, like, this chocolate is, like, I don't want to say anthropomorphic, but, like, the chocolate, like, dances and flies.
Yeah.
And it's very, like... It
spells out the W in Wonka and...
It's like this really whimsical movie, kind of like breaking down the Timothée Chalamet character in total. It's almost like the it's almost like the opposite of Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory in this sense. That like Charlie Bucket is ultra optimistic, becomes disillusioned, and then kind of brings it back. But like. Optimism to delusion because of Willy Wonka's behavior, and ultimately there's a redemption. Noodle, pessimist. Like, she's in the worst possible situation.
Yes.
Who learns optimism from this illiterate chocolate slinger. You know what I mean? And in a kind of different way, like, this optimistic Wonka becomes more, like, jaded and disillusioned towards
him. Does he?
Well, like, in that one moment where he's like, I'm going to give it all up to save my friends, he's like...
I guess.
Because, like, so to understand Timothée Chalamet's Wonka is to understand that his relationship with his mother is the most important thing to him, but she is no longer with him. Like, she died. But,
does she die?
I guess. I assume she died.
Yeah.
I don't really...
Because she just disappeared.
Yeah, she disappeared, and she didn't finish telling him the secret
about chocolate.
They're, like, all the rich chocolate cartels in the world don't know the one truth about chocolate. And he doesn't know what that secret is, but he knows that his mother made a pinky promise to him that when he's selling chocolate, when he's in that space, that she will return to him.
And
be beside him.
Be beside him, yes.
Never
tells him that that she's going to tell him what the secret is, though.
Right. Right, but like, there's this arrested development to this Wonka.
He is a child at heart. He is a whimsical child.
Right, which is why like his literacy is unimportant to him. Like, no matter what happens, and a lot of things happen to him. Like, he almost gets eaten. He's beaten in the streets. But like, he's got this one kind of North Star guiding light. Is that as long as I keep selling this chocolate, when I reach my dream, this is a movie about dreams ultimately, imagination. He's like, if I reach my dreams, then the truth will be revealed.
Yes, I'll be able to see my mother.
Right. Versus Noodle, who's a realist, who's like, I am a slave.
Yes, I want to die.
And here are five other slaves that... But there's a song where we get introduced to other people that were enslaved by Mr. Scrub, if I'm skipping things.
I broke down who they were.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the lawyer.
The
accountant, the comedian.
The plumber.
The plumber.
The telephone lady.
Yeah, the telephone lady.
The telephone operator, and then Noodle.
Which, kind of speaking of, like, tropes in, like, in film, there's a part where the woman who's the telecommunications person speaks, which I guess, assuming for the first time, and everyone in the movie reacts to it, and we didn't, because it was like, I didn't realize she wasn't.
Yeah.
Speaking or doing anything in the film because you hadn't introduced it.
Yeah.
I was speaking all the time.
You've seen it 100 times in 1,000 movies. It's,
and you just,
just, quiet characters talking. Jay and Silent Bob do it.
Jay and Silent Bob. The Tiny Tim.
Mm-hmm.
The kid in Scrooge.
God bless us.
Yeah,
God,
the kid in Scrooge. Everyone. Yeah, and Silent Bob does it in every movie.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
Kind of keep him on track here. Like, when he's confronted, this Wonka is confronted with all of life's challenges. More and more, like, it's not so odd. Like, more and more he becomes a little more, his path is a little more fraught. Like, the dream isn't working out exactly the way he thinks it's supposed to. Possibly because Keegan-Michael Key is a corrupt policeman.
Yes.
That's helping the chocolate cartel, run by Slugsworth.
Run by Slugsworth and then the other guys, and then Fat Hitler, and then, and then other guy who's, I don't know, also a Nazi poster boy. Yeah. But and then he's also being paid in chocolate.
Right.
So the gag is that he constantly, every time you see him, since he's eating so much chocolate, he's just getting bigger and bigger.
It's a bad gag.
Yeah,
the Keegan-Michael Key, like, fat suit or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
It's, so, like, I guess here's the problem that I have with that, like, idea, right? You're doing one of these, like, whimsical, believe in yourself, everybody's important movies. Like, hey, just because this kid's a street urchin doesn't mean she can't be more. And it turns out she is more, right? Like, you've got this guy who's, like, ever optimistic, and then the movie's just sitting in this, like, fat joke.
Yeah.
For forever, I'm like, well, I guess it's cool for everybody, but fat people? Like, I'm confused. Like, it to me, didn't fit the,
Also, it's kind of like a thing, like, that he's corrupt, so it's okay for him to be fat.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like, wait, what? Like, that's not,
Yeah,
like that's not it.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Like you deserve your punishment. It's like that's a punishment to be fat.
I don't think
that's true.
Maybe they had to keep like a fat joke because of Augustus Gloop. Like I don't know.
I guess. I mean, granted, if you eat enough chocolate, I mean,
sure.
It's not a good thing to be eating.
I mean, they implied that he ate 1,800 bars of chocolate.
Yes, that's true. But in like a week and a half, he put on 150 pounds.
That was pretty insane. That's a lot of weight.
That's a lot of weight. I mean, you need to see a doctor, dude.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know what the doctor in this time period would do.
He probably would have got caught up in a indentured servitude scam. <Yes, he would've, laughs> There is no doctor in town.
There is no doctor.
That's why everyone's flying. He would have like, just
ripped off his foot.
Mm-hmm.
They
definitely lean into like magic more with this Willy Wonka, too.
Yes.
Like he's borderline, I mean, he is in a lot of ways. He is a magician, which I guess explains the top hat and the coat and the cane and stuff. But like,
yeah, they do a lot of gags with the cane standing still.
Yeah,
and like doing stuff.
Like a scarecrow.
Yes.
It's
So like, if you saw this, that almost that gag with the cane, which is phenomenal, and
right,
it almost underplays.
It does underplay
because the way, like, if you know that existed, then it wouldn't be as good.
So
it's almost like knowing that, like, watching all of the Star Wars prequels first.
Right.
This is the second reference to Star Wars I'm making.
That's fair.
But knowing that, like, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. Spoiler alert.
Right.
It's like knowing that.
If you knew that, like, that moment, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, the cane scene, we don't know how magical Willy Wonka is at that point. Like, we really don't know a lot about this chocolatier at that point in the film. And then when you're touring, effectively, the factory, you're like, wait a minute, this is like a magic funhouse of some sort. This Wonka,
House of Horrors.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, all the children, so many children dying. Rivers of chocolate, pools of chocolate time.
It's like H.H. Holmes.
The horror.
This horror castle.
Because the prequel now is just, like, showing you a lot of this this magic. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of what we like about the original Gene Wilder film is, like, the mystery and, like, trying to figure it out along the way.
And I think that's what makes, that's also, like, a part of the allure of Willy Wonka in the movie is that he was such a recluse and you didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
Like, all you knew is this chocolate was delicious.
Right.
That's it. That's all you knew. And then, so it's like you got to be, like, no one got to go in the factory.
Right.
No one knew what the factory looked like.
Right.
So.
And creating this entire, like, but like a worldwide phenomenon. Yeah, we can go see the factory.
Yeah.
How's he making this crazy chocolate?
Exactly.
You know?
But in this one, he's like P.T. Barnum.
He's very much P.T. Barnum.
And
I think, in a lot of ways, like, they play it up. Again, kind of going back to Charlie and Chocolate Factory, they lean into, like, his travels a lot in that film as well.
But then, like I was saying when we watched it, was that you fast forward in your head to automatically when Charlie gets control of this chocolate factory. He's not that showman.
No, he's not.
This company's doomed. if he doesn't, like, if this guy's not in charge.
Yeah.
If it's like Succession. Who's gonna take over?
Oh shit, you said Showman. Like, honestly, if we watched this movie or The Greatest Showman, I couldn't tell you.
Me neither.
Musical.
Did we watch it? Guy with a top hat.
Top hat.
He kind of runs a circus. Yep. Lady had a beard.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Same movie.
Same movie.
It's kind of funny, too. Like, he flips it, right? Because, like, everyone has their own hang-up. Like, they've been, they're indebted to someone or shackled.
Yeah.
To some circumstance because of like, the things that happen in their life. And then, in a weird way, Wonka kind of flips that. Because, like, again, if we see later Wonka, his Oompa Loompa connection, like, who he's willing to employ and pay, like, is he? Did he take all the bad parts of that business and say, oh, I'm stealing this?
Yes.
Because, like...
He did. He implemented it. Because those people weren't getting... How much did they get paid? The people that helped him out.
They weren't getting paid much.
Because they don't work for him at the end.
Well, Tom Davis, I think is the guy who played, like, the big, Miss Scrubbit's, like, love interest at some point. Because there's a lot of, like, callbacks and allusions, like, a lot of remakes do. If you see the whistle he has when he's bringing them to work, that's the Willy Wonka whistle that he uses for, like, the Oompa Loompas and stuff like that. So, like, that's a weird parallel. Like, this guy who enslaved Willy Wonka, basically, has this whistle that he does roll call and starts the factory work
throughout
the day. And then Wonka's like, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, that's mine now.
I'm going to use that.
This movie's an allegory for the 1%.
He must have finessed that Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying.
Because, like, you're right, they're business partners. They're, like, on the same level.
Yeah.
And by the time 19...
Now they're doing all this shit work?
It's insane.
I don't think so.
But then, you know what? It kind of makes sense, though. Because if you think about it, the Hugh Grant Oompa Loompa is an outcast.
He
was shunned and exiled by his brothers. Maybe he went back and was like, yo... Why don't you sign
the entrepreneur contract? Oh, my God. Yeah. By the way, I think this movie's perfect. We're doing this movie in Black History Month, by the way.
Yeah. Actually, they had to change a lot of the Oompa Loompa, descriptors.
Yes, I'm sure.
Roald Dahl, some of his stuff didn't age as well. And
what are you talking about?
The Oompa Loompas were originally, just African.
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
I guess what people, I don't know if this is PC anymore, but like what people call like pygmies, effectively.
Pygmies?
That they then,
Well.
A lot of brown faces, a lot of loincloths in the original.
Well.
Black orange.
Orange with green hair.
Yep.
Let's make them Irish.
It's different.
Little Irish. People.
You're the funny little man who's been following me.
Funny little man. How dare you? I will have you know that I am a perfectly respectable size for an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah.
Toorelora Laura.
God. It's so fun to kind of jump around with these different concepts.
Yeah. But,
in a lot of ways, they're not... I mean, they're connected, but, like, they're not in a lot of ways. Like, the movies are very different.
Yes. I mean, I wish that, you know... I would love to write, like, a cultural, like, college thesis on both of these.
Yes.
This is what, like...
Yeah, I agree.
Then it'd be like, well, this is what this determines about our current system of capitalism.
Right. I mean, like, that's part of it. It is an allegory in a lot of ways. Whereas I think the first one is, like, is about kind of, like, remembering youth and... imagination and living, because like we get so caught up in our day-to-day lives as adults that like we forget about that joy in youth or whatever. Like this film, that's definitely part of Wonka 2023, but there's also like you said, the capitalism angle. Like he's being shut out from doing business by rivals who are working hand-in-hand with, like, the state and authority in a corrupt manner. And the church!
And the church,
church is involved. This is a corrupt, I use the word I'm going to use again, Dickensian time, a land without time. I have no idea what time it is. And, like, this guy shakes up the whole system.
Yeah, and they make the whole rule that he goes on the underground to do it because they make him a rule that he can't...
he can't sell chocolate without a store, but he can't get a store without selling chocolate.
Right.
So he, by doing that, that's how he get that, which is also how close is that to you can't get a job without experience, but you can't get experience without the job.
That's right.
So
that's right. And, you know, I guess what's consistent across the board with all the Wonkas is, like, if you look at Charlie Bucket's family and his grandfather in the first film.
Lion prick.
He's a lion prick. I'm so sick. Can't get up.
Grandpa Joe.
Can't get up.
Can't help the family out. I'm so sick. So what? You're going to the chocolate factory? Let's get out of here.
I used to work in that chocolate factory.
Yeah.
Fucking Jack Albertson's Grandpa Joe. So good.
Mm.
The.
Singing and dancing.
Yeah, like, how do I put it? I think what I'm trying to say is Charlie Bucket, in a lot of ways, is Willy Wonka. If you look at the origin, right? Like, a youth with unfortunate circumstances that has, like, an unflinching belief in something greater than himself, who has to then take that belief system out into the world, have it tested, and ultimately see if he's going to come out the other side jaded like the rest of the world, or this magical kind of being.
So the hero's journey is
the hero's journey is what's happening here. why I bring that up is that, like, there's a similar effect, like the Grandpa Joe liar, getting out of bed and not being, like, disabled or whatever he was anymore. This Wonka's doing that same thing in this town, like, in mass. Like, he's changing people's lives, presumably for the better. We don't really know that.
We don't know.
We don't sit there long enough. But, like, there's the random guy at one point who, like, the girl's like, yeah, no, I'm not interested. And he's like, yo, take this chocolate, man. Take this chocolate directly.
Yeah. Yo, come on.
Yo, you'll get bitches, dog.
First one's free.
Next one, not so much.
Did you, by the way, when that was happening, have you ever seen that thing? It's not been on the internet. It was like back this in like 1895. This man traveled around like Barnum and Bailey Circus, and he was like he was the heaviest man that ever lived at the time. And he was like 256 pounds or something like that. He was just sitting there. He was like, he's like a chubby guy, but it's like, man, I've seen fatter guys like four today.
Yeah.
Like.
Especially
and it's
because
of shit like this.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, 100%.
Yeah,
it's good. No, that P.T. Barnum parallel, it's perfect, actually.
Yeah. Just like, wow, that guy's not it.
And, like, I guess we gotta talk about Noodle.
Yeah.
We gotta talk about Noodle. Like I mentioned.
Is that her acting?
People act. But, like.
She could sing, though. She's a great singer.
Well, that's usually what happens, right? Like, you get a good singer who's a bad actor, great actor.
I don't want to say she's a bad actor because she's a kid. Yeah. But she's just like if there's a weak point of this movie,
it's a little flat.
Yeah, it's a little flat.
Like, some of the other supporting casts were pretty weak.
Yeah, so. If you're going to see this to see, like, an Oscar caliber acting, I mean, you're in for some sad disappointment. But
can I say that, like,
yes, you can. Go ahead.
Disappointment is a word that comes out in my head because, like, what I pictured this film to be is not what I got. I think by the end, I like made my peace with Wonka 2023, which is what I'm going to call it forever.
Yeah.
But, like, I was looking for more of a, I started the factory, here's the factory, you know, like.
I got a business loan.
Yeah. They went, like, so far back, they were like, and then here's when I learned to read.
Yeah, but then, I learned how to read. And then, it's like, you own a business, man.
Yeah.
But then the part that you wanted to see was the last 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I had it in my head that Timothée Chalamet. So, okay, here's my disappointment. It's a prequel, and it is an incomplete Wonka, talking about the hero's journey, right? So, like, we have the beginning of Wonka, but he's not quite Wonka yet.
Yes.
You know, all the bones are there, but, like, he's not finished. Gene Wilder, I have a finished Wonka.
Yeah. Like, why would I? I don't need
I like the finished product.
I know, exactly. That's not the problem.
You did it, Charlie. You did it. You know? And, like, he never gets to be fully realized as Wonka until the end. And at that point, he's done so many fantastic things. And I'm not going to lie. Like, they portray that pretty well. But, like, I didn't care about the factory.
Yeah.
Which is really the only thing I cared about from the jump. I was like, I can't wait to see how a modern movie does the Wonka factory with Timothée Chalamet as Wonka. And I did not get that.
Yeah.
I got literally the Tiny Tim, you know,
yeah.
Like Scrooge.
And then it's just all like, it's all like Ex Machina.
It felt like Les Mis.
Yeah. And then it's the whole thing is just like, so, it's like, do you want me to believe this, like the stakes of this or
right.
not? Like, and so you get into like, oh, this is the last batch of chocolate I can make. But except for this next batch and this next batch.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, how many can you make?
Yeah.
Like, how are you making this chocolate?
Well,
by the way, and he gets milk from a giraffe, which.
Yes.
Okay. Whatever. I mean,
I knew we were in for it though at the beginning of the movie when he takes the hat off and he pulls like
yeah, of course
cups and shit out. I was like, oh,
yeah.
He's like, because he's telling a song. That's the thing, right? Like you said, the stakes. He's doing a song about losing all his money.
Yeah,
and like being in a vulnerable place. But the very next thing he does is like, oh, I don't have any money, but and he pulls out this hat where apparently he can grab an alarm clock, hot tea kettle.
Yeah.
A glass, food and drink. Like, he's so magical. They're like, yeah, money is irrelevant to this man. Which almost makes it crazy that he even wants the factory in the first place. Because it seems so irrelevant. But, like, I guess because he's chasing this dream of his dead mother.
Yeah.
That, like, he thinks that, like, wow, that's crazy. You're talking about a college thesis of this. This is his child's bastardized version of capitalism.
Yeah.
The factory, he doesn't care about the money. He's like, this represents my mom.
Of course.
I can buy happiness. I can make my mother come back.
Edible.
Through edibles. Effective edibles.
No, I mean,
oh, you mean the thing I took?
Yeah, the edible complex.
Edible.
Edible.
Edible. Yeah, no.
Yeah, you want to kill your father to obtain your mother. He wants to obtain his mother. Like, he wants to obtain the happiness that his mother brought him.
You know what's crazy? Actually, speaking of edibles and Oedipal.
Oedipals.
Coming back here, this is how powerful Willy Wonka the character is. I started that about Noodle and just kept talking about Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Noodle,
I mean, it's like she's an orphan.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, so, and that's the thing, though. But she's not, right? Like, that's crazy, right? That, like, Noodle, which, by the way, we never learned her real name, and that's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
She's forever Noodle. Is this girl who, similar to Wonka, is in this circumstance with the Scrubbins. Even more so, she was orphaned. She has no relation to the real world. She doesn't know who her parents are, right? At least everybody else that's a slave is like, I used to be an accountant.
Yeah.
But then you find out, spoilers, if you don't want to know how the movie ends, skip for about 2 minutes probably. But like, you have this Noodle who actually turns out that she's in the Slugsworth family tree.
Yeah.
She's Slugsworth's brother's daughter. So
yeah.
That's his niece. Right? There's words for niece.
Oh, yeah. her mother, after her father died?
Right?
Died,
yes.
Died, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
his unmarried father.
Unmarried father.
I wanted to bring that in because morality.
The bastard child showed up at Slugsworth's door,
mm-hmm.
and he asked her to take care of her. And
because she was sick. Because
she was sick.
Yeah.
So instead of taking care of her, he dumped her down a laundry chute and told her mother she was dead. Because by all rights, she should be.
Oh, and then he dropped
a bunch of money in front of her.
It was very
called
a Judas Jesus thing.
Yeah, they called the police.
Yeah.
Because
13 pieces of silver,
yeah.
I believe.
Get out of here.
Because of the connection with the church, by
yes,
the way.
Of course.
Every allegory. Sorry.
Yes. No, that's her story, and that's what she comes from. And she doesn't know that until later in the movie.
Much later in the movie, and to a point where it actually doesn't even matter anymore. Because, like,
yeah.
I have to assume, right, because they, like, the accountant's all there, that actually, in a roundabout way, this is very good for her, taking over the Slugsworth kind of estate, as it were. Like, she is entitled to a portion of that business. But kind of bad for her. Maybe this is the Willy Wonka long play, because I actually do believe this Wonka is actually evil versus Gene Wilder. And Gene Wilder has to go through the entire redemption arc to become unevil. And here's why I say that. He has just, more or less, revealed the chocolate cartel's entire plot. Right?
Yeah.
making Slugsworth now legally in debt. Like, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits and things like that. Slugsworth will probably have to go bankrupt.
Jail, for sure.
For sure, jail.
He tries to murder them.
For sure, jail. And by the way, Wonka's chocolate is so superior that Slugsworth's company is effectively close to worthless now. Anyway, he just revealed to this little orphan that, I guess, what looks like a windfall, she's actually indebted to Willy Wonka for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
It's a long play. It's a long play.
Oh, it's... God, because
Slugsworth, it ain't worth what it used to.
No, Slugs ain't slugging. That ain't slugging. That's like, oh, damn.
But, sorry, to go that long way about, like, right, like, I think what I was trying to say about Noodle originally before all of that is that Charlie Bucket, the equivalent in 71, is optimistic, becomes disillusioned. Noodle is disillusioned, becomes optimistic. And ultimately, it doesn't matter anyway because they both land in the same place, ultimately. But, like, it's interesting how they kind of flip that dynamic, if you want to really break it down and get a little analytical, of how Wonka is redeeming Noodle.
Yeah.
Like, that's her redemption arc. Not that she needs a redemption arc, but, like, he is her road to salvation. Charlie is Wonka's road to salvation.
Yes, okay.
You know?
I see what
you're
saying.
So it's kind of flipped in that way.
So he's the bridge between the two of them.
Yes. This kid...
It's interesting.
Yeah, you know, again, I may be giving this more than it's given.
I think we are, though.
But, I don't know.
But it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. I just, going back to this, though, like, I think what we were trying to say is why?
Why did this movie? So I guess that would be the answer to this. Should it be made?
No. No, right? Because, like, I don't think I wanted a Willy Wonka musical.
Who needs it? I don't,
you know?
I don't know who this is for.
Not that it's like a bad film.
It wasn't awful. Like, it was just kind of like, why?
You made a good point when we were watching it, where you said that, like, I wish I wasn't so cynical or jaded about this, right? Like, but, like, of course you are, because this is, like, the nature of, like, a bad remake of, like, this is the cash grab remake.
Yeah, exactly. It's pure, like, it's all, takes, like, the whole thing is the allure of, who's Willy Wonka? Yeah. It's like the Joker.
Yeah, the heart's out of it. Like, it's a movie about heart that, like, is now just a movie about let's make some cash, because, like, people are gonna go see. I mean, look, they got some off me. I bought it today.
Yeah,
that wasn't cheap either.
No.
But yeah, like, I just think that ultimately, I guess I would like to see something like this. As a theater production, actually.
Yeah, it might be more interesting.
But I didn't ask for this movie. And even when I, like, thought that I was asking for it, I didn't ask for what the actual product was.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I'm going to get a prequel I don't want, kind of like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But, hey, I like Timothée Chalamet, kind of like before. Like, I like Johnny Depp. So, like, even though it's a prequel I'm not asking for, I like the person. But then the way they filmed it, or, like, making it a musical, I was like, oh, like we were saying before, this No Man's Land, we don't want to see it.
Yeah.
A kid doesn't want to see it.
I don't. So, like, I don't know who this is for.
Why did we do it?
Yeah, and it just doesn't, and just don't even bother. Like, the first one, you knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
But I just, like, I don't understand this whole mythos around Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Right. That, like, people, like, oh, I need more. Like, no, you don't.
No, I mean,
it was enough. The first one was fine. Just leave it alone.
It's a children's book, right?
It's a children's book.
And
with, like, some adult themes in it.
Sure.
But,
and it's cool to, like, to have, like, the Hollywood machine make these sets and, like, factories and stuff like that. It's interesting to see, like, this one guy's wild imaginations and drawings translated into, like, film. But we've done this 3 times now?
Yeah, 3.
And we did it right once.
Yeah, once. That's all.
The first time.
Without, like, CGI, too.
The first time they got it.
Yeah.
And then we keep doing it, and, like, the product is becoming, I'm saying worse, but, like, yeah, actually, yes, worse.
It's watered down.
Because Charlie's Chocolate Factory is bad for different reasons. This is, like, I'm not mad at anyone in the cast, per se. Like, I actually think that, like, their performances overall were, like, I actually came around in the movie a little bit towards the end. Maybe because just the arc of a musical, really.
Yeah.
Like that soaring.
Yeah, and I love a musical. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But
like I don't like, I mean, it's not like I dislike Timothée Chalamet now. Like,
no.
In a lot of ways, I actually respect him in some ways more.
I would almost respect if it was anything else but Wonka. Like, if it was on, I don't know, it's just like, why do we have to do, like, it's like the, you could have done anything with this and you just slapped a Wonka thing on it and be like, yeah, because that'll sell.
Yeah, that's the point. They're like, you couldn't get into it because of the source material.
And also, I'm an adult.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, it was a little.
Yeah, it was like,
It was a little hokey at times.
Yeah, you're like, okay, I bet this is coming back.
I guess, I guess that's another criticism of the film is that, like you mentioned, the adult themes in the original, like they're there, right? This is so overall optimistic that like it feels like a child's movie the entire time.
And also, it seems like not that it.
Even with the fucked up subject material, too. Yeah. Like somehow, with slavery, the movie still feels...
Yeah, but it almost makes, like, slavery whimsical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not...
It's okay like, to be in debt.
Yeah.
We'll be okay.
Scrub, scrub, scrub. Chocolate. We'll be here for 10,000 hours. Problems. Yeah.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Like, oh, God. Like, I just don't... And it's almost like you're... Instead of, like, putting out this product and, like, watch it. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Watch it or don't. Whatever. This is what it is, and it doesn't matter if you watch it or not, because I know I made a great movie.
Yeah.
And in this, it's like, please watch me.
Yeah.
It's like, totally. Desperate.
Totally. Because, like you were saying, if somehow this script or the story is about something different, I think I could have, like, gotten more into the movie, but because...
You know what it is, too? It's like, if this was never made...
Mm-hmm.
I would feel exactly the same way about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, nothing has changed.
It's, like, it doesn't add anything.
Actually, each time, you're right, each time they do this, I just kind of retcon, or, like, push it aside that I saw these, like, descriptive movies. Like, I just hyper-focus on the first film.
It's almost gets
standalone.
It's almost like Godfather 3 syndrome. Like, yeah. I almost refuse to believe it exists.
Like, yeah, truly. It's like... Yeah, 1971, they nailed it. It's a fucking perfect movie.
Yeah, it's great. Like, and he's the perfect guy to play it.
Yeah,
that it's like, is he a monster? Is he fun? Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's a little of both.
And just to have that ability as an actor to, like, with the same face, be able to be both of those things.
Exactly. And, it's very good.
And the singing's good. Gene Wilder.
Yeah. I mean, like, Gene Wilder's singing, but not really singing.
Yeah.
Subtly singing.
And, so good.
Yes.
So good.
So,
yeah, and this is not so good. There's parts of it that I like, and I still find Chalamet, like a fun actor, and like, I'm glad he has musical range. And weirdly enough, I would like to see him and Hugh Jackman do some sort of musical thing, because like, they clearly have similar energy when it comes to this. But, this movie really shouldn't exist.
it's okay. I mean, it was fine.
It's fine, but it serves
like its purpose. It's its own thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, if you're going to watch this afterwards, watch The Wire.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
That being said, so what do you want to do next on this brilliant podcast?
Oh, damn. No, we were bringing up a couple things. We didn't really come to a...
Well, the one idea that I had was since... you could do several iterations of it, is Godzilla.
Godzilla, ah, yes.
The original.
Yeah.
The original monster movie of monster movies.
Right.
And then...
You thought Willy Wonka was a monster. Wait till you see this.
Then Godzilla, and then the Japanese film, and then the Matthew Broderick 1996, 7,
8? Yeah. We could talk about that.
That one, and then the one with Bryan Cranston where they remade.
That's true. So,
we could do all of them.
We're going to do all the Godzillas. Because I'd like to go through that progression.
Yeah.
Of Gojira.
Gojira.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. I think that we got to break up whatever this was. Like, this is good. This is the first
one. We got some other movies coming that we got the remakes of. I mean, Mean Girls we got coming. We got Color Purple.
Roadhouse.
That's the movie we were born to do.
After Godzilla, we should just do Roadhouse.
Okay.
Pretend you didn't hear that.
we Can't wait. Yeah. I mean, that's the movie we're born
we
to.
Were born.
When does that movie come out?
Roadhouse? It's coming out. So, this is, unfortunately, a bit of a bummer for us. It's not coming to theaters. Amazon Prime got the rights, and it's going straight to streaming on Amazon Prime. I believe
yeah,
it
so
comes out.
Prime.
Yeah, exactly. Same. I believe it comes out next month. So
Aces.
Aces high.
Anyway, so Aces high. Oh, yeah, so
that
please.
Fun.
Yeah, that was fun. Join us next time where we go over Godzilla.
Yep.
Godzilla. And then you can find us at Retroverse Remake. Wait, how would you say it? How do you say the actual Japanese word?
Oh, Gojira.
Gojira.
So
okay, I really wasn't trying to be.
No,
I
know.
I wasn't trying to be.
You just, yeah,
I was okay. Gojira. Okay.
Yeah, it's G O J I R R A. Gojira.
Okay, Gojira.
Which becomes Godzilla in.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I just want to be clear about that, guys. If anyone wants to write and be like, this guy says, no, didn't mean to do it. I was just saying. Yeah, so you can find us at Retroverse Remake on Instagram, on YouTube, like, subscribe, comment, whatever. You can find me at Dan Farley 18 on Instagram or at Jersey Dan 18 on X, and then Reggie Parker.
You can find me at RP Comedy, specifically on Threads. Threads by Meta.
Threads. You can find me on MySpace.
I'm on LiveJournal right now. Black Planet. RP Comedy on Instagram and X, formerly Twitter. Retroverse Remake, of course, on Instagram. You can find us on Spotify, YouTube.
All,
it's a good time.
You can find us on the street corners.
Hey, slinging that chocolate.
Slinging that chocolate.
It sounds weird when I say
that's sexual chocolate.
Yeah. You know it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
That was fun. Yeah, that was a thing.